want to talk about the biblical secret to getting ahead financially or getting financial breakthrough that it seems like most Christians miss.
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited to talk about this. We got inspired because I ran into somebody yesterday at a shop that I went into. It's like restaurant shop thing.
Well, yeah, she had her own miracle, and we'll explain that in a little bit.
Yeah.
But we've seen enough financial miracles in our lives. We've seen enough in our students. We've seen enough students mm-hmm. who weren't getting financial miracles. And I'm not going to say, like, my goal isn't to say that I understand everyone's situation and why they haven't received the miracle they're praying for. Like, I'm not gonna try to do that. What I do want to point out is something that we've identified as, I don't know, it just seems to be really consistent in most of the miracles that we see, as well as if we look biblically mm-hmm. at a lot of financial miracles.
Well, and I think one thing to keep in mind is that as much as it's hard to be like, well, this is just the way God does things, this is just the formula.
Yeah.
There's also truth in that God does, like, he does have order.
Yeah, and there's patterns.
And there's patterns that you can see. And so it's not, but even within the pattern, it's not always the same. Does that make sense?
No, so, absolutely.
So I don't think that we can predict what God is doing. I guess that's the point, or what he will do. And I think that's when we get into trouble. But I also think that there are some things that we can do on our end to open the door, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and in terms of speaking biblically, there are formulaic things, you know? And so, like, if we go to Joshua 1:8, and I'll read it in the New Living Translation. It says, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on day and night so that you will be able to obey everything written in it. Then you will prosper and succeed in what you do.
Yeah.
So there's a do A plus B equals C.
Right.
Now, how that actually happens is another story, and that's where it's like the pinning God down to the method of a check in the mailbox for every single person or whatever.
What does success look like?
Yeah, which is very different for different people, different circumstances, different callings, all these different things.
And not to mention, we have our own idea as humans what success should look like.
Yeah.
And we can sometimes put that on God and be like, well, I did these things, and why haven't you done the thing that I'm calling success? And he's like, that's not success in my book, you know? Yeah. So
he's not our genie in a bottle that we get to control mm-hmm. and that we get to tell him how it's going to do. It's like we're serving him, you know? And anyway, so all that to say, I want to start unpacking this a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about this topic a lot. It is the first chapter of our book. It is the first session of our True Financial Freedom class.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this idea that the battle is God's, but we have to show up.
Mm-hmm.
And breaking that down a little bit, you know, the story that we talk about this through is the story of Jehoshaphat. But fundamentally, extracting out of that this idea that God has a part to play and we have a part to play. And so we have a natural component of steps that we need to take, you know, and sometimes those steps are insufficient. And they are never good enough, you know? And so you might be in a situation, you need a financial miracle right now. And what you are going to do in the natural is never going to be enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a story we're going to tell you in just a few minutes. There was a situation like that. No matter what she did, it was not going to be enough. She could talk to any financial advisor, the smartest people in the world, and they would say, you aren't going to be able to do this. You don't have enough. You're not going to be able to make this work.
Mm-hmm.
But that is a requirement, I believe, quite often in order to get the financial miracle. God wants us to take what is in our hand and to do something with it, even though it's not going to be enough. And then that's where he steps in and does the heavy lifting, does the stuff that really makes that miracle manifest. And so just a couple quick biblical examples. So for example, Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20, I'm not going to go through the whole story. You can go read it if you want.
Please go read it.
But that is a great example.
Yeah.
And you can go read chapter one of our book, Simple Money, Rich Life. It's in there or the class. So that's one. What about marching around a city seven times and then yelling real loud? It's like, it's not going to be enough. You know, what about this boy with these loaves and fishes? And the disciples are like, you got to be kidding me. Like, what is this, some kind of joke? Like, what are we doing here? Like, why are we even entertaining this thought?
Well, and I was
yet
even
God's like, that's exactly what I want to do.
I was even thinking about the boy with five smooth stones.
Yeah.
Going up against a literal giant
going to be
with a sword who was, you know, an awesome fighter and, you know, a leader in the army or whatever he was.
Yeah.
Isn't it, it has this appearance of, this is a terrible idea.
Yeah. Often that's how you know it's God. So anyway, so that's one component, is we have to do that natural piece, even when it feels like, what's the point? Just let God do the miracle. I don't need to do anything. Like, just let him do it. Mm-hmm. Like, God could have just fed those 5,000 without those loaves and fish being involved. He could have just done that, but he chose not to. Mm-hmm. He wanted them to be part of it, and he wanted them to obey and to start passing out the loaves and fish when it's not going to be enough. Like, there's something about that. Us taking those natural steps in conjunction with praying and bringing God into the equation, inviting him in. And that's where we see the miracles over and over and over again. And I've seen that pattern play out so many times. This is the thing I think so many Christians are missing.
Yeah, and I think the reason why he invites us in is, I mean, to make us part of it, that's really cool. But I don't think that we would be able to give him glory if we didn't know what we were up against.
Yep.
So in the idea of the loaves and fishes, it's like they bring these loaves and fishes to Jesus. Jesus is like, that's great, we'll use that. And like all of them are like, you'll use what? What are we talking about here? Not knowing that Jesus could do something with it, right? But that story might not be in the Bible if they hadn't started with it. You think about the wine too. He made them fill those jugs with water.
Yeah, because why? You know
what if I mean? They wouldn't have filled them with water, then they wouldn't have known that it wasn't, it was water that they put in, but water was not what came out.
Yeah.
There has to be, like, we need some skin in the game in order to be able to say, look what God did. Right?
Yeah, I was talking to a friend the other day, and he was reading, or actually, we were kind of having a little bit of Bible study on maybe Joel chapter 3, and there's one little section in there where it talks about kind of the way we were kind of describing it as we were talking back and forth is almost like this idea of go ahead and mock the heathens. Like who are trying to say that it's not possible with God. Go ahead and like laugh in their faces and taunt them. And this reminds me, and this idea, and tying all this together, this reminds me of who was it? Was it Elijah who, when he was comparing his God versus their God, said,
oh gosh,
throw extra water on there, throw a double dose of water on there, like just soak it for days. And then let's see if God brings the fire, God brings the fire down and burns it up. And so it gets to this point where it's like, you get so far out there on like, I have to have God come through because it's so far past impossible.
Right.
And again, all that does is just point more glory to God, rules out any possibility of it being anything else. And God is the one who gets the glory. And as a result, the story is told.
Mm-hmm.
God continues to get the glory. You know, we have stories in our lives where we've seen him come through on things, where we were out there, where it's like, we're so far out on a ledge. It's like this, it's God or we're crashing and burning. And yet we still talk about those stories.
Absolutely.
Because, not because like, oh, we made all the right decisions and we did this. Like, it's like, we know we did it. Like, we were just on a road with God, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And it's like, you can make all the good decisions in the world, and there are some things that it just won't help. You know what I mean?
A lot of things.
Like, and you kind of can get to that point where you're just like, I mean, like there's a tendency to want to give up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Instead of like, I think you want to take one of two extremes. You either want to go, I give up, I'm not doing anything anymore. Like in the instance of it being a financial thing of just being like, I'm not going to pay attention anymore. I'm not going to try to budget. I'm not going to whatever. I'm just going to spend what I'm going to spend because it doesn't matter anyway.
Yeah.
And then there's the other side of it where you're just like, it's the hustle culture thing where you're just like, if I can just do this and if I can just do this. And I mean, we were talking about this. There is Psalm 46:10 is the scripture that says, "Be still and know that I am God." But in the New American Standard Bible, it actually says, "Cease striving and know that I am God."
That's good. That's
and I love that version.
It's a different.
It's a different
understanding
take.
Of that idea of being still.
Yes, because striving, you can strive in a lot of different areas. But that idea, I remember we had our son had a lot of health issues. And I remember it was our oldest son. And I just remember thinking, if I can just memorize the list of what he's allergic to, if I can just keep it so that he doesn't eat those things, if I can just make sure that all of our household products are clean and our soaps are clean and, you know, do all these things. If we can just wash out our washing machine so that there's no mold in there and there, you know, it was just like one thing after another of like, if I can just do this, then everything will be okay. And it was never okay.
Yeah.
And we ended up just having to not give up, but also let go. Like stop striving so much and really put our trust in God.
Yeah. And I think it's an important differentiator because we still had to do things. It wasn't like we weren't trying on any of the natural steps that we had to take, but we weren't putting our trust in the natural steps anymore.
Yeah.
Because I think we accidentally were putting our trust in our natural abilities to do that. And I see this all the time with people in their financial situations where it's like they will put their trust in their ability to solve the financial problem.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do that, but you're probably not going to see a miracle that way.
Well, see, here's the thing is that you can do that for so long and for different things, and you will see good results sometimes.
Yeah.
But that is also the big problem is that you will start thinking that it's you and what you can do that will provide these results. And we're actually as created beings, people that God created, we're not meant for that.
Yeah.
And so you might be able to get some good results, but putting your trust in your own ability is going to, in the end, hopefully it just leads you straight to Jesus. It's either going to lead you to the grave or it's going to lead you to Jesus.
Yeah.
Because you can kill yourself trying to do that or just make your life miserable, or it can bring you straight to Jesus and be like, this is what I've been missing all along. And I thought it was me. I thought I was doing everything right. And I'm realizing that everything I did was just the grace of God.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Why don't you share some of that story?
Okay.
That we're talking about.
So I ran into this woman. We met her, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago, maybe. And, it was a real, real sweet couple. They moved here and they started going to the same church that we go to because I think he emailed you and said, "Hey, what church do you go to?" Right. And so,
yeah, he was a listener, a reader.
Yeah, he was a reader. So we just like met them at church, which was really funny. And they're such a sweet little couple. They have felt, I don't know why I called him a little couple because he's like 6'6" or something.
Than me.
But they are. I think it's because they're younger than us a little bit. But they're just real sweet, and they have this heart for missions. And so they've had this for a long time. They've felt like we are called to the mission field. So they've gone on several mission trips. We've supported them and, you know, on some of their trips and everything. And we're just watching them and what God is doing. And it's really exciting. Like it's really been sweet to see them walk in that. Cause I don't think I've ever really done that with another, like, you know, like peer type of person. I've seen a lot of missionaries go, but I think it was more like as I was a kid and less like my friends. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyway, so she sees me and she's like, "Oh my gosh." Like we haven't seen each other in probably a year or 2 years. And she's like, "Oh my gosh. I have to tell you, like, you'll understand this." And I was like, "Oh yeah, what?" And she said, "We just had a whole lot of medical debt." And, she starts going, it was like, she told me the end result and then she started unpacking it a little bit, but she said they have this medical debt that they found themselves in. Obviously, medical debt is one of those things where it's like, it's not like they were like racking up credit card debt, like they couldn't control themselves. Like, that was my situation, but that wasn't theirs. They were, you know, they, oftentimes this is just not a choice. Like, you're just in this position and you have to figure out how to get out of it.
Yeah.
So they're in this position and they are knowing that they're called to the mission field in some way. Are trying to step into that world a little bit, but also seeing this medical debt and realizing we have a responsibility to pay this off. But she said, she was like, it was so much money. It was the kind of money that you're like, just lay hands on it and just pray over it. I'm like, yeah, I know what you're talking about. So she's like, you know, she was telling me about how her husband was like trying to take on some side hustles and trying to like do extra so that they could work on paying this debt off. Like, they're doing the best they can. And she said, and then like, you know, a month ago or something, the Lord said, or they felt like the Lord was calling them into full-time missions. So like putting all their effort into that, instead of trying to like really make money. So, she just was like, she said that they both were saying, this is just not a good time. This isn't a good time. They have little kids.
It's a terrible
idea. It's a terrible idea. They have little kids. They've got this debt that they've been trying, that they've been working hard to get out of. And, but she said it was so much debt that it wasn't like, well, I'll just stop getting coffees out and that will solve the problem. It wasn't that type of debt. It was just like, I don't know how to do this.
Reuse your Ziploc bags and it's going to solve the problem. Yeah.
This is like, you know, move in with your parents and, you know, get rid of your cell phones and cars type of debt. So she said they felt like God was calling them to go into full-time missions. And she was like, we were both like, this is a bad idea. I don't know what to do. So she said she had a conversation with her brother and she and her brother prayed because she was like, the only way we can do this is if this debt is taken care of. Like, we don't know how to do this. And she said they prayed and within 10 days, all that debt was gone. And she did not share specifics. I don't know if they paid it off. I don't know if it got forgiven. I don't know if an insurance check came through. I don't know how it happened, but it was so encouraging to me that it was this piece of God, we don't know what to do, but we will trust you.
And you know? We'll obey.
And we will actually obey.
When it doesn't make sense, when it feels like it's going to take us in the opposite direction.
Right.
And take us a lot longer to pay off the debt. This has been our story over and over and over again.
Yeah.
We have heard so many of our students tell this same story. It's like, it's almost laughable now. And I have the fortunate opportunity to be in a position where I get to like sit here, you know, and we have thousands of students and like hear this story over and over and over again. And I'm like, this is just what God's doing. I don't think most people understand this because most people are not hearing this with the frequency that we are.
Yeah. And I think that's why we want to bang this drum.
Yeah.
Is because we are being told these stories on the regular. And it's like, God is there's something here about this obedience factor of thinking, man, this does not seem like the best idea, but I know that this is where God is leading us, that the obedience of the timing and everything, right? Because like if we're looking at their story, really what they've told us all along, like we've known them for several years and they have felt a call to missions, right? And it wasn't until now where they are like, oh, now's the time, right? Like where they feel like this is actually God saying now's the time. They've known it for a long time. And I think that's really interesting too, because a lot of people will get a word from the Lord and be like, that's it. I'm doing that. I'm doing it right now. Like, I know I am prone to doing that.
Because
you get so excited. You're like, man, this feels exciting that I have a purpose and a calling and, you know, whatever. But actually, just waiting for that time to go to watch God. It's no longer in the excitement. It's exciting because you know that God's calling you to it, but it's oftentimes walking in that obedience of being like, I know you've called me this, but I don't know how this is going to work out.
Yeah.
And seeing that, then that's when you see the breakthrough. And going back to this Jehoshaphat story, I was looking it up when they were praying and fasting, the word of the Lord came, right? And so, and says to them, very specific instructions. Tomorrow, march down against them. Okay. So, you know, just a quick recap. There's three armies coming to kill all of Jerusalem and Judah, and the whole Israel nation is going to be wiped out, right? So they fast and pray, and the Lord says, tomorrow, march down against them. They could have gotten really excited and been like, let's go right now. But if they would have gone right then, they would not have seen the result. There was a timing issue then. The Lord said, go down, go tomorrow, and you will find them in this specific spot. Because God had some work to do, and those people needed to get into the right spot in order for God to do the work. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Go read the story. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about if you don't know what I'm talking about now. But just that idea of we need to wait for the right time. And when God says it's time now, when we take him up on that offer, that's when we see these things, I believe, because he is working. And there's a lot of stuff that is completely out of our control, completely out of our even like knowledge of what is going on in the situation, that he is lining up. And I think that's why we see these things, is because when we hear what God is asking us to do and we wait for his timing, then we obey, and that's when we see it.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, and I if there's anyone listening or watching who is like, all right, well, how do I hear from God on that? We have a whole separate podcast episode, and we're not a podcast specifically talking about that, but we have an episode, How to Hear from God with Your Giving, that I think is worth listening to. Mm. Because I think that applies to a lot of what we're talking about here, if you're facing that question, because we get that question a whole lot. So mm-hmm. I'll leave it at that. But
yeah,
let's pray, because if you're watching, listening, and you're like, yeah, this is what I need, this is it, let's pray. Because again, this is part of it. Like, again, you need to find out from God, what is the thing that you're supposed to do? Are you supposed to march down to the battle line in the morning? You know, like, and what does that look like practically for you? Are you supposed to wait?
Yeah.
Are you supposed to, right now, step into ministry, full-time ministry, whatever the thing is? Are you supposed to start that business? Are you supposed to quit that mm-hmm. job? Are you supposed to whatever, blah, blah, blah. But the point is, you want to do whatever that thing is God is leading you to do, even whether or not it makes sense or not. And then you want to pray, and you want to fast, and you want to bring God into this whole thing, because mm-hmm. He's the one who does the heavy lifting. So do you want to pray? You want me to pray?
You pray.
Okay.
And I have one more thing to add at the end, but go ahead.
Great. Is it good?
It's really good.
Is it special?
So all right. Good.
God, we just invite you into our lives, as well as everyone listening, Father. We're coming together, really seeking you, knowing that you are the source, that you are the ultimate provider, that you are the one that we can trust in. You're dependable, you're reliable, you're faithful. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. And you have it, and you have this beautifully orchestrated plan kind of laid out for us to walk in. And I pray for all my brothers and sisters listening who are facing some sort of challenge, who need a miracle, who mm-hmm. need you to move some way in their financial life, in their business, in their whatever. Let's apply this to anything, in their marriage, in their health, whatever. Lord, I pray that you would give them clear instruction on what the things are that they are to do. What is the march down to the battle line for them? Mm-hmm. What are the things that they are supposed to do? And give them clarity on that, as well as give them... show them when they're supposed to do those things. And then on top of that, I pray that you'd give them the wisdom and discernment on how to navigate all the pieces. And we just invite you into those situations, each and every one of them. And I pray that you would show up so big and so magnificently. And I pray that we'd get dozens or hundreds of emails or DMs a few months down the road of what you did in their life, really as a result of this, as a result of this moment where we decided, all right, we're going to pray mm-hmm. and we're going to do that thing that maybe we've been nervous about, maybe we know the Lord is leading us to. And I just pray that you would do that, God, and that you'd be glorified in it. And there'd be no doubt where the breakthrough came from. Mm-hmm. There'd be no doubt how it happened. And so just like this couple, there is no doubt. It's not like their five-step debt payoff plan is the thing that gets glory, but that Jesus is the one who gets glory.
Yeah,
and so that's what we're after, Lord. How do we live a financial life where you are the one who's getting glory in it? Mm-hmm. And I pray that you'd be glorified in it all. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, I love that. Well, so the last thing that I wanted to add in is we tell stories like this for encouragement because I feel like people need encouragement in this. They need the encouragement to keep going or to continue to trust in God. And so that is what we do. But within that, not every day looks like this for everybody. And even for this couple,
what
there were years of them working to try and pay off this debt. Okay. So it wasn't just like, oh yeah, we just pray and then everything just happens as soon as we, you know, pray. But there, so there is a, I think what we can look to is the scripture that talks about rejoice when you go through trials, because, you know, it produces perseverance and proven character.
Count it all joy when you encounter various tests and trials.
Yes, and all that. And it says, and let it have its perfect work. Like, we can't just look at someone else and see great things happening in their life and be like, why isn't it happening in my life? The truth of the matter is that was a outward exciting thing that happened with their finances. But there's also things that are going on inside of our hearts all the time, I believe, that God is actually like, could you trust me in this? Could you trust me when you get that bill for all that medical debt? Could you trust me in the waiting period? Could you trust me, you know, all the way through it till the end, so that we can actually prove who he is? Do you know what I mean? And it's not just the exciting things that I'm excited about. I'm actually excited about the hard times at this point now. Maybe not while I'm in it. Maybe not always while I'm in it. Honestly, but no, I've trained myself to go, this is so good for me. God, I know you're doing something in me that you're changing something in my heart that I didn't know was there that is just getting purified.
Yeah.
And so if we can rejoice with our friends who are rejoicing and also still be able to walk through difficult times, knowing that he is still faithful, knowing that he is still moving, knowing that he is still above it all and still God and on the throne, then I think we've really gotten into a good spot.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Absolutely. That's good. So anyway, that is the end of this episode of the Seed Time Money podcast. If you haven't left a review on iTunes, we would appreciate it because it helps us out and helps other people find the show, which is great and helpful for us. And send us a DM on Instagram at Seed Time. We'd love to chat. Tell us what's going on. If there's any way we can serve you in any way, we'd love to.
Or pray for you.
Yep. So reach out there and send this to anyone who needs it.
Yep.
Have a great day. See ya.
Bye. So if you liked this episode or just our podcast in general and you want to hang out with us more, what about for 6 weeks in a row with your small group or church?
Yeah, we'd love that. That sounds fun to us. Uh-huh. So if that is interesting to you, just head over to seedtime.com/true to get all the details of how we can do that and how we can serve your small group, serve your church, or also just send us a message on Instagram at seedtime or send me an email, bob@seedtime, and we can chat.